when I could see how it was possible for a few to control the world and the structure through which it was done, a very simple structure, very simple methods. And that, at that point, in effect, in my mind, I'd got all the straight bits on the jigsaw puzzle. The frame was complete.
Mm-hmm.
And the more, you know, when you're doing a jigsaw puzzle, the more pieces you find and you find a place for, the more the picture emerges, and the quicker, therefore, you can put the later pieces in. And this whole connection to this reptilian story, this reptilian theme, especially when you go back and you realize about the crossbreeding and stuff,
mm-hmm.
everything mm-hmm. starts to make sense that didn't make sense before. For instance, why is it that these ruling royal families, whether it was the aristocracy of Europe or the royal families of Europe or the Eastern establishment families of the United States to this day, why are they always interbred obsessively? People have thought, because it's snobbery. Well, it's mm-hmm. actually more than that. They're trying to hold genetic structure.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it, another question I was asking, why is it that wherever you follow these bloodlines, Jeff, from the ancient world to now, you follow the banking scam of lending money that doesn't exist and charging interest on it, which is very, very relevant. But you also find them taking part in blood-drinking rituals and human sacrifice. And the more you kind of understand about this as I research it and understand more, is the more you realize that these sacrifices to the gods, like the Aztecs and so many others were involved in the ancient world, were literally sacrificing to these people. Because for some reason, blood is very important to them, these particular bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start to understand why the endless stories that are emerging now about the ruling elite and the major figures of the world and how they're involved in blood drinking rituals and human sacrifice, the same as the ancients were when you follow the bloodlines back. And it all kind of fits between the reptilian theme and what's actually happening.
We know about the hybrid issue. We know about abductions. Abductees taken and then put back. Do you have any evidence to sustain the concept that there are people being abducted who aren't being brought back, who are being consumed or sent elsewhere, and that's the end of them?
Well, only evidence in the sense that people say it's going on. Obviously, evidence in terms of hard evidence of seeing it, well, I mean, you know, we're not going to get there yet.
But you are hearing this kind of thing.
Oh, very much. Mm-hmm. And it all fits. I mean, mm-hmm. you see, when you, again... Because the amount of time this has been going on in our history...
Well, it's been going on forever.
Yeah, exactly. But in our known history, as we call it, it's been going on a few thousand years. Now, in the passage of time, that is not even a blink of an eye. So what's happening now is what's been happening throughout what we call known human history and before. And therefore, when you go back and you see what happened in the accounts thousands of years ago, and then you can mirror it with what's happening now, even down to the rituals, the people that have been in these rituals and survived them and seen them, and of course most people don't, and therapists I've talked to around the world who are working with the human debris of these satanic and sacrifice networks and the broken minds and emotional levels that they're dealing with. They all tell me about the deities that these guys do these rituals to, and they're the same deities that you find in the ancient accounts. One of them is called Moloch or Molech, where they sacrifice children to this deity. Now, some of the most famous people in the world, you look in the Old Testament accounts and others, and you'll find that it talks about how the people put their children through the fire to Moloch, or Molech, who is symbolized as an owl, which is why you have the owl symbolism in Bohemian Grove with the 40-foot stone owl. That's why you have the owl symbolism in the Illuminati secret language. So what we're looking at today is nearly the modern expression of something that's been going on throughout known human history. And to understand that, you start to realize there has to be a common force. I mean, many people have said to me, well, how could it go on over all these thousands of years? Because people die and all that stuff. Well, there is a common theme, a common force that has spanned this period of time, which has been working to a common agenda. And that common agenda is the takeover of planet Earth. And it's interesting that one of the things Credo suggests is a thing that's occurred to me, certainly. His feeling is that this reptilian group are seeking to change the atmosphere of the planet so it suits them and doesn't suit us. And I must say, I just tell you about the synchronicity of life. That when life's trying to tell you something, the first time I met Credo Mush was about 18 months ago, and we talked for about 5 hours about the global manipulation and its extraterrestrial connection. And then this time, just a few weeks ago, we really got into this reptilian stuff deeply and more. But after that first talking to him and how you were saying the Illuminati is, and extraterrestrials are actually connected, I went back to the house in Johannesburg where I was staying, and just wrote down on the laptop what he'd said for reference. And then I went down and sat in the lounge, and everyone had left. But the television was left on. And I had been in South Africa for the first time 3 days. I didn't know anything about South African television. What channel it was, I just sat there, and I thought, there's some advertisements on. I thought, I'll wait to see what comes on. Bit of chewing gum for the mind for a night, you know. And what came on, literally 2 minutes later, was a film I'd never seen or heard of before, called The Arrival. It came out about 1991. Oh, yeah. And The Arrival was the story of a reptilian extraterrestrial race that took over the planet by looking human, by manifesting a human body around itself when it was out among human people. And the agenda in this film was that they wanted to change the atmosphere of the planet so it suited them and not us, and that these reptilian beings hiding in human form are actually controlling NASA in this film and were changing the atmosphere of the planet. Now, because there's not many of these, and it's interesting that Credo says the same, there's not many at the peak of the pyramid of this manipulation. Mm-hmm. They have to manipulate humanity to imprison itself. They have to manipulate humanity to operate in ways that change the atmosphere of the planet.
That's right. Well, that goes back to your original story years ago about how we don't need police anymore. We police ourselves. We're that well trained. Be right back. Okay, back with David Icke. Our remaining segment tonight, 1-800-444-2524 for the brand new set of videotapes. And David's blockbuster underground bestseller, The Biggest Secret, which is just selling all over the world. A couple of phone calls. We'll try and get to 3-4 as we can. 1-800-876-4123. Let's go to Portland, Oregon first. Listening on Hot Talk, KOTK, it's Travis. Hello, Travis.
Hi, how you doing tonight, John?
Fine, thank you.
All right, I just had a couple of quick questions. Number one is, are the reptilians, are they pretty much confined to Africa? And then my second question would be, if not, then would the person know that they are a reptilian?
The person meaning?
Meaning that I know somebody who has some kind of the described features.
Could someone be a reptilian and not be fully aware of it or aware of it at all? Is that what you mean?
Exactly.
Okay, all right. David, they're not confined to Africa. We know that.
Certainly not. All over the world. And I think that, what Credo said earlier about the fact that this reptilian race actually originated in the Earth, or at least what were here a long, long time ago, is extremely relevant because we forget that there is a significant part of the human brain which is called the R-complex, the reptilian part of the brain. And interestingly, and this is conventional science that I've been reading various papers and accounts of this, that from the reptilian part of the brain we get certain characteristics like what they call cold-blooded behavior, being able to do something to someone and be completely emotionally detached from the consequences for them of what you've done. Also, an obsession with ritual and territorialism. This is mine. I own it. Mm-hmm.
Would explain sociopathic personalities, too, to a degree, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and also we get from that aspect, apparently, of our brain, which is an ancient part of the brain from our reptilian past, the top-down power structure vision of society, ruling from the top on the pyramid-type top-down power structure. Now, what I've just described, whether we're talking reptilians or not, I've just described the mentality of this Illuminati network that manipulates the planet. And it seems to me that there is reptilian background to all of us. It just seems that there are certain bloodlines where this is very, very much more pronounced.
Right.
And from what I understand from a number of people I've talked to around the world who have been in there, if you like, and seen some of this stuff, they don't even, at the highest level, they don't even breed sexually anymore. It's all done artificially with the sperm of a guy who is considered the pure top of the range, if you like, from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that sperm will be passed around and impregnated into large numbers of women because it's the genetics that they're looking for. And this is why these ruling families invariably marry for genetics and not through emotion. And we find this again and again all over the world. It's because they're trying to hold this genetic structure. So I think there are reptilian bloodlines all over the world, absolutely. Overwhelmingly in the white race, but certainly not exclusively so.
Could somebody have reptilian heritage and not know it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we've all got reptilian heritage at some level. My goodness me, because you know, you look at the far history of this world, and it was dominated by the reptilian genetic stream. And the interesting thing that is the extraordinary detail that this Illuminati go to find out who has it and who doesn't from their perspective. They do tremendous genealogical research, it seems, into bloodlines, so they know who's got it and who hasn't. And one of the things that is emerging, the more that I research this, is that they look for certain bloodlines which have this critical mass, shall I put it, genetic content they're looking for. And they will pull them in to the secret society network, etc. And the person at first might be completely oblivious. They might think they're being selected because they're considered, you know, good at their job and all this stuff. And then they put them through these various rituals at the highest level of this network. And these rituals create an energy field, which is like a stepping stone energy field, which allows this lower fourth dimensional consciousness, reptilian consciousness, whatever you like to call it, to plug in to the person, to lock in, and if in effect possess that person and become his thought processes, become his emotional processes. And I've talked to a number of people in various parts of the world who told me the same story about how people they know who have been pulled into this network have actually had a tremendous personality change. As the years have unfolded to the point where they were unrecognizable. And we hear this about, oh, power's changed him, you know. Well, is it always power that changes them, or is it something else that happens as a result of them going up this ladder of power?
All right, let's head down to Jacksonville and say hello to Howard, listening on WJGR. Hello, Howard. Go ahead, Howard, if you're there. Howard, I don't hear you. Okay, Howard, we'll have to get you to call back in if you can and try again. David, I got another email here. How is David Icke still alive? If he's blowing the whistle on these guys, certainly they'd find a very expeditious way to silence David.
Well, I think we've got to be careful that we don't fall into the trap that you get credibility in this business of research if you're dead. And that we wear attacks on our lives like war wounds or medals. You know, I've had 6 attacks on my life. I must be talking the truth. It's easy to fall into that. I think the best thing to do is to understand that we create our own reality and to create a reality in which we're not taken out. And that may seem trite, but I think one of the things that I've found traveling around the world, Jeff, you know, talking to whistleblowers, one of the common themes, and it is so strong, this theme, those who have put this information out in fear of the consequences have invariably got the consequences. And what we put out, we get back. And if we put out fear, what's mm-hmm. going to happen to me if I do this, we are very likely to draw to us by this process what we fear will happen. And what I'm concentrating on doing mm-hmm. is getting fear completely outside of my being. So I just do what I believe is right, and I don't think of the consequences, because once you think of the consequences, you start to draw the consequences towards you.
That's right.
So when I was in Canada, for instance, I went through that little game and all that stuff, and and talked. And I knew it was going to be fine. They give me hassle, but I talked, and there's no way they were going to stop me. And it's amazing what the power an individual mind has if it takes its power back and starts to create its own reality rather than be drawn into fear and depression. Oh, they're going to stop me. I'll tell you now, Jeff, no one's going to stop me doing what I've come to do. And they're just not going to do it. And I think that from a spiritual point of view, and indeed from a bigger picture point of view, people keep saying to me, well, where are the good guys then? Well, first of all, I don't think it's a good guy, bad guy thing. I think, you know, we're all part of the same consciousness. But on one level, people say, where are the forces that are trying to help humanity? Well, it's a vibrational thing for me. If you are of a state of being that wants to help humanity get out of this prison and set ourselves free, then you're going to be vibrating to a high frequency, because that the frequency represents where you're at in your mental and emotional state. If people incarnate in physical form are not resonating to that frequency, if they're still in fear, which is many scientific programs have shown is a very low, slow wavelength. When we're feeling fear, we're vibrating very slowly. Well, if we're in fear and that level of consciousness that's trying to help us is actually resonating very fast, mm-hmm. then there's no way that connection can take place. Because it's like one radio station trying to tune into another radio station that's on a different frequency. Absolutely impossible. It's up to us, I would suggest, to raise our state so that we become, in frequency terms, connected to these higher levels of consciousness that are trying to help us. And this is actually the foundation of the manipulation, in my opinion. This whole network, Illuminati, reptilian, call it what you like, has been working for thousands of years from a high level of knowledge of how this works to keep humanity in ignorance and in fear. Because if we're in fear, we're resonating very slowly. We're never going to connect with the full magnitude of consciousness, the full magnitude of who we are, and these other levels of consciousness that are trying to help us and guide us out of this.
And what awesome tools they have now. Television, the media, it's
exactly.
Amazing.
Basically, we're in a vibrational prison, but it's a vibrational prison called fear that we can break out of any time. And there's many, many people, because you know, we talk about what's going on, and we should, because we need to understand it, because then we can do something about it. But in these 25, 26 countries I've been in the last 3 years, Jeff, there's something else happening. Apart from the agenda being introduced in everyone, there is an awakening going on in everyone. And when you start to open up and get out of this fear situation, mm-hmm. then you start to see life in a completely different way. You're starting to connect with these higher levels that we've been disconnected from all this time. Because the human entity is an extraordinary manifestation of creation. We are incredible. We are genius waiting to happen. And what this network of manipulation has had to do, otherwise it couldn't have done anything, it has had to disconnect us from the 99.99% of who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
So we operate in a fraction of our potential, and then we're manipulatable, then we're controllable. If we awaken to who we are, this is all over, because this manipulating group is actually not all-powerful. It's actually not very bright.
That's the big secret. And,
yeah.
David, we have to go, but I want to get you back on the program while you're still here in the States within the next couple of weeks, so let's work on that.
Smash it.
All right, my friend.
Okay, Jeff.
Take care.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. David Icke, the inimitable, one-of-a-kind David Icke. Another mind-stretching program for you tonight. Information, possibilities, is it true? What if only 10% of it's true? Does that change the world? The decision is yours, and I'm glad you chose to spend your time with us tonight. And fascinating hearing from Credo in South Africa, the culture over there, the history of it. We'll carry on tomorrow night. See you in 21 hours. Take care.